again, Mike O'Connor, Sex and Podcasting. The show doesn't have anything to do with sex. It's about community podcasting. The bandwidth for this show is provided by IP House in Minneapolis. And this is the second in at least a three-part series about how podcasters could help out with the Katrina recovery effort. The first show was the last one. That was where I was sort of trying to put myself in the head of a person that was going down there to do relief work and sort of speculate about what kind of podcast that person might want to listen to. This show is more aimed at the person who's maybe running a project or running a relief agency down there. And sort of, this is sort of the business guy thing. I do a lot of project repair work. That's actually mostly what I do. I hardly ever get to start projects. I usually get to fix them when they're busted. And one of the things that I think is really important to do whenever you're doing anything like this is come up with some of the reasons why you're going to do it, sort of the justification. I think it's really important that when people are working on something like this that you know which way west is. And to that end, I've found over the, God, how many years that I've been doing this, that there are really only four categories of things that you use to justify stuff. It's kind of boiled down to a Zen thing. And so I thought I'd just sort of speculate about what some of those things would be if you were thinking about doing podcasting in conjunction with a relief effort. The first thing, of course, is that a lot of things can be justified because they reduce costs. And I was thinking, well, so how could podcasting reduce the cost of a recovery effort? And I came up with a little list. I'm sure there's more, and I'm throwing it open to you to add to this list. And if you come up with any good ideas, email me at mike@haven.com, and I'll do a sequel show sometime. But I was thinking, well, podcasting could really reduce training costs. You know, you could have podcasts like that show last time where the person's driving down to the Gulf, Missouri, Mississippi, or Louisiana, and they're just listening to stuff on the way down. You could get a lot of training time into that drive. You could also cut down the cost of having meetings. Meetings are a pain, but they have to happen. And podcasts, I bet, could replace a lot of meetings where people are just keeping people up to date. And so, you know, section leaders or group leaders or just folks could do podcasts, and you could trade them around and listen to these updates while you're doing something else, while you're driving somewhere or working on a machine or just doing something boring. I would think that would be a good way to reduce costs. I think podcasts are another vehicle for reducing errors and waste, especially if you could get sort of the lessons learned kind of podcasts out there. Again, you couldn't do this with radio because it's too narrow. Especially if it's a small project group, you know, 10, 20, 30 people. There's no way radio would work for this, and there's no way that the internet reading it will work, because when people come back, they're going to be too tired to do anything like that. And I think that, you know, improving morale is a good way to reduce costs, because I think people who are really bummed out because they're away from home for a long time and distracted by that, they make mistakes. You know, when your spirits are low, your work isn't as good. So I think all of those would be ways that podcasts could reduce the cost of doing a recovery effort. Another of my four categories is I look for ways that an organization can get more nimble, because more nimble organizations are going to, you know, do a better job. And I thought of a few things that podcasts could do. It's sort of a repeat, but I think that podcasts could keep everybody sort of on the same page a lot better than written reports, which take, you know, a week, and or meetings, which are such a pain that you only do them once a week. You know, podcasts, you could do a little podcast every day, and if there was something really amazing, important going on, you could sneak that in there, and people would know right away, and I think that would be good. I think another neat thing about podcasts is they're really cheap to do, and so they could be updated really often. You could do a podcast every day for your project team if you needed it, and it wouldn't be hard at all to have that out there for people to listen to. But at the same time, another advantage is the podcast persists. So if you have a really good idea, and that idea is still a good idea 3 months from now, you could just leave it in the pile of good idea podcasts, and the new people coming in could get up to speed with those without soaking up all your time training them. I think another angle on all of these things, and another of my four, is improving the quality of the work. I've kind of alluded to ways that that can happen already, but I think that when people are better informed, they're going to do a better job of delivering services. And that could be anything from how to interact with people in the community to how to behave around polluted water to healthcare to you name it. I mean, I think there's all kinds of informing that needs to happen that's, again, way too narrow for radio. And it's not going to be listened to all at the same time, but I think podcasts would be a great way to get that information out to people. Same deal with sort of the lessons learned, you know, the whole kind of knowledge-based thing. Clearly, if all the relief folks were sitting at desks, a knowledge-based system would be terrific, and I'm sure that there are some out there. But a lot of these folks would be, you know, out in the field, and a knowledge base isn't going to be any use to them while they're away from the internet, whereas podcasts could trickle that knowledge into them during downtime again. And then finally, in the crass business world, you always look for ways to get more resources, either make more money or get more grants and stuff like that. And I think podcasts could help with that too. First of all, I think podcasts could provide a really neat resource to describe what's going on to those of us who are on the edge, outside the recovery area. Another thing I was thinking is if I was a contractor, a podcast coming from a project leader that said what was coming up, the contracts that were going to be let, maybe describing them in a little more detail with a little bit more human voice than just the written word would be a neat thing. And then finally, for leaders, you know, I think leaders, podcasts are an important vehicle for you to get the word out to your constituents and to the people who are working on the recovery effort for you. And if you're a leader from outside, conveying the message from, you know, the perspective of the Red Cross leadership or the Salvation Army or whatever. I think just a great way to communicate those needs to the outside world, which in turn I think leads, all of that leads to more resources coming in, more grants, more funding, more revenue, whatever. So anyway, that's my rant about how you justify podcasting. For all of those of you who are scratching your heads over all this sort of business type talk, because you don't hear that from me very often, here's the antidote to that. Eric Clapton's got a new album out called Back Home. He's got a track on there called Going Left, which I'm already left, for those of you who haven't figured that out already. But I think that this shift to the left is a theme that we're going to see in lots of ways over the next few months, because I think this disaster in the Gulf states really highlights some of the implications of the kind of me, leave me alone, government is stupid, national policy that we've been pursuing over the last couple of decades. And so for those of you who are thinking about swinging just a little bit to the left because you've been a little bit horrified by what you've seen over the last week or so, let me and Eric welcome you home, and I'll be back after he's done to wrap things up. Well, at this point in these shows, I went on to play a tune of some sort, but I've let the license to play those tunes expire, so I had to edit them out. And the other thing is that these shows are in mothballs now. I kind of ran out of stuff to say about community podcasting, so I've moved on to GeezerCast, which gives me a lot more room to maneuver. GeezerCast is a podcast to my unborn grandchildren, and if you're liking these, you might like those too. You can join me over there at geezercast.com. Anyway, that wraps this show up. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you the next time.